be Michelle Raymond. Michelle, welcome. Are you on the line? Go ahead. You'll be sharing some of your efforts with BIM, Building Information Model. Welcome.
That is correct. I start on slide 111.
Okay. I think we're ready. We're ready here.
I gave a brief introduction to myself earlier, but I'd like to say that I'm not uncommon as far as wearing multiple hats and being having our fingers in multiple areas and being able to access lots of different information sources. I am working in areas specific to this exploration workshop, through Honeywell Life Safety Research, through the IRSC, through OASIS, through Ontolog, including two projects that are going on there, the Open Ontology Repository and the Building Services Performance Project. And I'm collaborating with NIST, including with Alan Zinn, who's virtually present here. What I'm going to do today to get the information across on sources for BIM, Building Information Model, and the visualizations and general information delivery systems, and how those tie into the common operating picture, is to go through some scenarios. So let's go to slide 112, please. In various meetings, we've discussed, this is before we get to the scenario, in various meetings, we've discussed that emergency response includes connection with critical information and services quickly. Resources are needed not just for the initial response, but throughout the entire response lifecycle. Best practices include means of accessing key resources and that the resources requested can be forwarded to others for appropriate support. Now, these practices enable better quality response to a situation, but in actuality, these practices also enable what I hope is a better quality presentation. So I'm going to tell you just a tiny anecdote here on when I went to put these slides together, it wasn't these slides at all, because I took the materials that I had on BIM, and I took the materials on BIM Storm, and I took the materials I had on the work that is going on with NIST on integrating with buildings to get information, and the work that we're doing on common terminology. I took all of the work that I was really familiar with, and I looked at the entire scope of it. A, this is too much stuff, and B, I'm really quite knowledgeable in my space of this, but I'm a little behind because technology is moving so fast in these other areas. What do? I accessed my trusted network and chose three trusted individuals there and sent out a alert that I needed additional resources or for what is current in today's technology for BIM. Of course, these people, being my trusted resources, responded fantastically, one even from his vacation in New Zealand. And not only that, linked me to their trusted resources, who provided additional materials which comprise the presentation you are actually going to see. So I'd like you to take that as one of the aspects of what we learn in any information space can be applied in our daily work. I also want to take away that this is something that these practices that we're generating, the policies that we're creating, and the community that we are creating is something that actually gets us to better results and a faster response. So let's get into the scenario. Slide 113, please. The scenario I'm about to describe in most parts is from a video on the latest advances from the Open Geospatial Consortium, the OGC, and I recommend that you access the full video online. The link to that is later in the slide deck. Quality information about where and when is required. required for most critical decisions. Information technology standards are vital for fast access to the variety of geospatial information available, which includes maps, satellite images, camera views, routes through congested areas, campus maps, building maps, and the locations associated with all of that data. This is needed for integrated, informed response. We'll be looking at how to bring the variety of information from a variety of sources to work together via OGC interoperable services. Slide 114, please. In this scenario, a dirty bomb explodes in a major seaport. However, note that this scenario describes a terrorist attack. But as I was saying earlier, lessons learned can be applied and the tools can be applied broadly. So we've found that many of the Homeland Security systems, standards, the goal of the common operating picture, these are applicable to all hazard responses. And a new all hazards approach, well, not new, but the new version of new, for all hazards responses is a buzzword for today. We can utilize those tools and lessons learned, and not for just a single type of situation or situation response. The work can be applied to anything considered a situation, such as what I described in my introduction. Slide 115, please. The scenario, while the situation on the ground is chaotic, we'll see how OGC interoperable services provide informed awareness to disaster managers and first responders who risk their lives to save lives. So the situation is from a single trigger, but that produces massive chaos. That trigger can lead to many, many resource needs, and those will be discussed further. Slide 116, please. A web-connected, always-on radiological sensor located in the port sends an automatic alert, including sensor locations, to the Emergency Operations Center. This initial alert is part of a sensor web network. Sensor web network is one of the components that OGC is very much a part of. There are many standards involved here. However, that's not the only possible source for alerting. We can get data that will cause an initial alert from sensors, from cameras, from people, from other systems, alarming systems, data aggregators. I'm sure that each of your organizations and agencies has features and functions that provide alerting that isn't even listed here. Slide 117, please. So at the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, an officer receives the alert and begins to investigate even before receiving any 911 call. What you see on the screen, the background part would be the individual just sitting there monitoring, he's on just standard duty there. And you see in the inlay, in the insert, that a radiation alert has popped up on his screen. And so he's going to start investigating right away. Slide 118, please. The officer uses data on the web to learn more about the surrounding area. He accesses a surveillance camera at the port and views the damage. Next, he alerts the others of this situation throughout the Emergency Operations Center. And once the official alert is out, he continues to gather relevant data, including wind patterns, existing response plans, data on radiation spread, and its impact on the surrounding buildings and external spaces where people are located. The data is provided to appropriate web services, which in turn provide visualization models that are then integrated into a common operating picture. And these are shared with local, regional, state, federal, and other operation centers and agencies. Slide 119, please. The situation calls for a temporary hospital with decontamination unit and helicopter access. Using the common operating picture, the director and her team can start viewing the surrounding area and accessing data about potential buildings and their immediate surroundings. Potential buildings for the temporary hospital are found at an airport beyond the radiation plume. Slide 121, please. An analyst begins site assessment with spatial integration of building models and information on the surrounding location. Several buildings are reviewed for suitability, based in part on the space available. Review is shown in the two top left screenshots. The building best suited for the hospital is selected, as seen in the top right screenshot. Standards for building information models, a BIM, and industry foundation classes, IFC, make it possible to quickly import designs for building components, such as temporary operating rooms. This is shown in the bottom two leftmost screenshots. The analyst makes a preliminary design of the hospital and shares it with the site construction team. On agreement, detailed design is then quickly created and distributed via the web. The design is shown in the bottom right screenshot. And I went one of those resources who helped me create this set and give me some background information on what's cutting edge now in BIM visualization, walked me through creating a building and putting the areas into it and describing what, putting in features. More on that later, but I want to stress that it was very, very easy to do. This isn't something that requires you understand any of the underlying things like XML and communication formats, etc. So let's proceed to slide, where are we at? 126, please. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's skipping ahead, isn't it? 122, please. Back to the scenario. The heliport and hospital will also require temporary modification of the taxiways flight path at that nearby airport. Digital rights management ensures that only authorized persons can alter the official information. Access is allowed and features updated, as well as data quality checks are performed without delay. These changes are posted and notifications are sent to pilots. The site is rapidly being turned into a functional temporary hospital, and patients are en route. Now, this is where I'll leave the OGC video script and screenshots. The rest of that scenario includes things on tracking of patients en route, rerouting patients to other hospitals if a facility has reached capacity for that type of patient. As part of the EDSL have hospital availability exchange standard that upright, and it also includes other important integration aspects of emergency response. So I do recommend viewing the actual video. Let's go on to slide 123, please. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and showcase the power of utilizing BIM tools and services. And we're going to do that describing the emergency shelter system. Enuma is a company that, a person company that has created the Enuma Planning System, OPS, and that allows for massive collaboration with a wide range of users. So in this San Francisco shelter database project, Enuma customized a system to support the documenting and management of hundreds of emergency shelters. Now, these shelter sites were cataloged and then made available for access by authorized users. And I would love to see this tied into a registry system that in a common format or in a format that could be translated into a common format so that we could use this type of standard in other places NUMA planning system was one system that supported the Open Geospatial Consortium's OWS4 project, which is where that video scenario material came from that I showed you before. And the OPS shows the shelter system here by connecting geospatial data and building information modeling data using open standards-based web services. The ANUMA planning system, which we call OPS, has a BIM XML converter application that imports BIM IFC, that's the Industry Foundation classes, files to that OPS system. To OPS. It runs on PC and Mac. Sorry, Linux. The OPS format can also be used as a translation pass-through from a building information model to other data formats that can then be parsed by other data aggregation and visualization services. The GSA has widely adopted them. And the GSA has, it's called GSA BIM even. Their building information model includes the GSA space categories, the space typing, the space category. So from their taxonomy, that is what's used in their BIM model. The GSA has space zones for security, preservation, privacy, project-specific zones, security. Multiple times, of course. And they also do occupants. And there's several other areas, but one of the things here is, we've got the second largest national building in the U.S. for building management utilizing BIM. And they've already put a lot of time and effort into getting out the bugs and quirks in it and helping to give user response to make it a better system. So now we'll talk through some of those key features of the integration of the web services and the building information. So this screen you're seeing here, the shelter locations are shown in Google Maps and the data is live from OPS. As new site surveys are done for shelter locations, they're entered by the field team. They're out in the field, and they appear on the map automatically. During an emergency, the same interface can be used to manage relief efforts. Slide 124, please. Web interface is to manage the shelter site data. And the field teams, as I said, they entered the data directly. So here we've got overlaid what could be used as a dashboard to show all of the sites and the information about those sites that are relevant for the user role that's accessing that information. So this screen may look different depending on who you are and what role you're playing when you access this screen. So that's how we would manage and share key information. Slide 125, please. Shelter site with the data from the OPS is in Google Earth, as I said. I don't know how big it is, if you can read what's in the box on the screen, but what is your standard Google detail overlay. And we've got categories within that for what's in a shelter, at availability status, the sleeping capacity, meal capacity, things like, is there a generator on the site? How many parking spots are there? And that would be common across, if the data is available, it would be automatically updated and shown on the display. Slide 126, please. What we see here is a site plan with the buildings. That's the smaller piece. It gives you the site, and the access routes are what is shown in yellow to that building. And then what we see in the larger part is with areas defined within that building. So this is a hierarchy of data, and it's based on physical containment for the situation. But you have to have proper access, then the data and graphics are editable to create new scenarios. And that can be done directly via a web browser. What we do need to work on is common terminology. Different places call these sites or in themes or campuses, buildings. So we are working to come up with a common terminology and that taxonomy that gives structure to the information. I'd like to see that go forward and then eventually become ontology that can then have rules put over it for directly supporting, okay, this is a hospital and we know the availability, therefore, and go on from there. That's something that I think would be very valuable to be done within the Open Ontology Repository project through Ontolog. Slide 127, please. Here I would like to show that right now in the BIM, there are a lot of industry foundation classes, but not necessarily a lot of visualization or access mechanisms, common representations of things that aren't commonly aligned with building architects, building construction workers, interior designers, and the furnishings of the place. So what you see here is that we've got the back part of the screen is a screenshot of a real system, and they're able to select components, in this case, a variety of different tables based on the specification of those tables. These representations were created. So there's a library of these. What we need is a library for whatever domain we're working in. Now, I've been working with NIST and other industry partners, along with other Honeywell, to create an icon set and a method for visualization for fire data. And that slide strip across the bottom show some of the icons that are being proposed for standardization, and some of those icons already are in the NFPA, National Fire Protection Agency standards. So what we want to get to is the ability to put in the items, the terms, and visual representations for those terms. Notice these are 2D icons at the bottom. That doesn't mean we can't also support 3D. There's 3D effort for showing elevator shafts, what the state of those elevators are in an emergency response. There's efforts on showing specific alarm flow throughout a building. And then there's also the bottom line, the connection to get the information from the building. So what we really need to go to is a common terminology that crosses domains and in the areas comes from the domain where it's really critical. We need to have icon sets or visualization formats that are standardized. We need those information content format to be standardized. I believe we need the exchange protocols to be standardized. And with all of these common terms, common icon sets, common information formats, common exchange protocols, we get the common operating picture. And from that, what we get is shared understanding. So please move to slide 128. Here's just my thank you screen to some of those folks that helped provide additional resources. The bottom link is the one to the video that I kind of walked through a scenario from that video. What I'd like to say is this group of people have really brought a lot to the table for BIM, and they are a subset of the folks that really want to make this work and integrate into emergency response, energy management, exchange of information for whatever the need is. And these are fabulous resources, the people and the sites that you see, plus the rest of the communities that I've been involved with. So I'd like to thank them and thank you for
Thank you.